بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين This is our final session on wisdom and I hope inshallah In this session, we would be able to cover some of the remaining aspects of wisdom. And inshallah, I hope we have got close to wisdom, if not achieved it, at least close to wisdom, inshallah. So what I'm going to do is to give you a summary of what we have said so far, the major issues that we have discussed, and then mention my own understanding of wisdom. So we first started with the various verses of the Quran about wisdom, either about wisdom itself, hikmah, or al-hikmah, with Aleph and Lam or without, and also Hakim. So we said in many verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described as Al-Hakim, the wise, the one who is absolutely and perfectly wise. Also the Quran itself is described as Al-Hakim. And then we have Hakim without an Aleph and Lam, which is used also For example, the affairs which are decided in Laylatul Qadr, because they become firm and decided and decisive in Laylatul Qadr. فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ And then we talked about hikmah. We had many verses about hikmah. In particular, you remember we talked about the mission of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in teaching the book and hikmah. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ Teaching the book and wisdom. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Jesus that عَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ I taught you the book and wisdom. Luqman was given wisdom. Dawood was given wisdom. And in general, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا Whoever has been given wisdom has been given a lot, an abundant good. So our conclusion was that based on the Quran, wisdom is something which is not the same as knowledge. Although it is related to knowledge, but it's different from knowledge. Sometimes Allah says He is Hakim and Alim. So if wisdom was equal to knowledge, there was no need to repeat. But wisdom is related to knowledge, related to intelligence, understanding. And then we talked about the views of the Arab linguist. If you remember, we mentioned Al-Ain, Majma' al-Bahrain, Mufradat by Raghib Isfahani, Lisan al-Arab, Al-Tahqiq fi Kalamat al-Quran, and all together we came up with these elements. Knowledge, understanding, stopping from doing bad things, finding the truth, being decisive and certain, being the best choice, justice, forbearance. These were elements mentioned by Arab linguists. And then we talked about the commentators of the Quran, like Allama Tabatabai in Al-Mizan and Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi in Tafsir Namuna. And according to them, wisdom is something which corresponds to the truth, something which bears on achieving happiness. It has practical implications, it's beneficial. Something which is related to understanding, to logic, to reasoning. And some have said it is a combination of knowledge and spiritual education. Then we mentioned many hadiths. We had tens of hadiths, which of course were only selection of hundreds of hadiths. And according to these hadiths, we had the following elements. Understanding, reason, knowledge, obedience to God, fear of God. Wisdom is related to the heart. Patience and forbearance, tolerance, being able to forgive and pardon, having good temper, being experienced, renunciation from the worldly pleasure, being honest and not trying to deceive others, not eating too much, not speaking too much, controlling your anger and appetites, being humble, getting lessons. So these are all different elements that in hadith are associated with wisdom. So I think now you have some idea about wisdom. In a sense, you can say wisdom means to be good in every aspect of your personality, in your rational understanding, in your emotions, in your relation with people, your relation with your Lord. So wisdom is something which shows that a person has really been successful in building himself, in educating, disciplining himself. So what I want to do is to share with you my understanding of different usage of wisdom. It seems that altogether there are four different ways in which wisdom is mentioned in the Quran and Hadith. And I very much want to know your comments, because this is my conclusion and it can be improved by your comments. Sometimes we use wisdom as a quality for a statement, for a proposition, for a sentence, if you like. For example, we say, this is a wise saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Or this is a wise saying of, for example, Greek philosopher or an Eastern, you know, for example, thinker. Just we use it for a sentence, okay? For example, we say that if you wake up, for example, early and go to bed early, you become, for example, you know, healthy and wealthy and wise. Early to bed, early to rise. This is a wise saying. It is not that much important who has said this. Was it a very pious person, holy person, or not? This sentence by itself is a wise saying. One of the ancient Iranian ministers or prime ministers was Buzarjomer. You say Buzarjomer, but the Arabs say Buzarjomer because they don't have gaf. He used to say always, Saharkhiz bash ta kamrava bashi, which is very similar to this English saying. It means that try to wake up early in the morning so that you are successful. So the king was not very happy with this. Perhaps he wanted to sleep, you know, late, till late. So he said, let's, you know, make a problem with this person. So he gave money to some of the people that when Buzarjomer comes to the court early morning, because before, you know, the day started, he used to go to office. So he said, you tomorrow go and on his way to the office, attack him and steal all his money, you know, everything valuable, so that he doesn't say anymore, you know, Saharkhiz bash ta kamrava bashi. So these people attacked Buzarjomer and robbed him and took away everything from him. So he went to the court, and later when the king came, asked him, "How are you today?" And he said, "I am fine." The king said, "It seems that you have had a problem today." He didn't, you know, say that I had arranged this. He said, "No, just on my way, some people, you know, attacked me." So the king said, "This is because you come early. This is your philosophy which makes this problem. You come early, this is the problem." He said, "No, my philosophy is good, but they woke up earlier than me." If I was the earliest, so I didn't have this problem. So from tomorrow, I have to come earlier. So this is a wise saying. Saharkhiz bash ta kamrava bash. So it's not that much important who says this. Even if a hypocrite says this, you should take it. You know, we had hadith, خُذُوا الْحِكْمَةِ وَلَوْ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّفَاقِ خُذُوا الْحِكْمَةِ وَلَوْ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Even a pagan, if says something wise, you take it. This is only about this person. Sorry, this sentence, this statement. It doesn't mean that that person is a good person, is a pious person, is a wise person. It's about what he said. So this is one way of using the term hikmah. Sometimes we use hikmah in a different way. For example, when we use it for a book like Quran, we say this is the book which is hakim. If you use it for a book, it means that this book as a whole is wise. It gives you wise ideas. Not that there is only one sentence or two sentences which are wise. When we use it for Quran or any book, if can be described hakim, because I don't think any book other than the Quran or books of God can be entirely hakim, because it was only word of hakim which can be hakim. So, but when we use it for a book, it means that this book is altogether in its entirety in compliance with wisdom. In other words, this book as a package shows you how to achieve happiness, best solutions, shortest and fastest ways to happiness is given in this book. This is Hakim book. So the Quran doesn't speak about anything unless it has some impact on our happiness. The Quran is not a book of science or history or novel. Anything which is mentioned in the Quran is because it has some impact on our happiness. This is the book for building human beings. It's not a book of history or a book. And this is why you see the Quran has its unique style. You cannot find, for example, one story in one place in the Quran. You find, for example, a story of Musa ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi wa sallam in many places. You find, for example, about the Prophet in different places, about resurrection in many places. Because this book is designed in the way that it can influence its readers with wisdom. It can be inspirational. It can be giving insights. So the second way of using wisdom is when it is used for a set of ideas and propositions, like a book, as a package. The third way wisdom is used, which is very different from the first, it is about a person who has been exercising some spiritual actions, has been trying to purify himself. So wisdom is coming naturally from his heart to his tongue. This is very much different from the first one. The first one is just to say one sentence, few sentences which are wise. Here, a person is given insights by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he speaks words of wisdom. For example, Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, "Ma akhlas al-abd al-iman billah azza wa jal 40 yawman." There is no servant of God who tries to purify himself for 40 days. In another version, Imam said, "Ma ajmal 'abdun dhikra Allah 'azza wa jalla 40 yawman." There is no person that tries to remember Allah for 40 days illa zahadahu Allah 'azza wa jalla fi dunya. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this person able to renunciate from dunya, to have zuhd. He's not that much interested in the excessive, you know, worldly pleasure. وَبَصَّرَهُ دَاءَهَا وَدَوَاءَهَا. Allah makes him able to realize what is his problem, what are the solutions for his problem. فَأَثْبَتَ الْحِكْمَةِ فِي قَلْبِهِ. And Allah puts wisdom in his heart. وَأَنْتَقَ بِهَا لِسَانَهُ. Allah makes his tongue able to speak wisdom. So this is much more important than saying one wise sentence. This is a person who has achieved some purity. For 40 days, he has tried hard to be doing everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, as a reward, he has been given this wisdom. Does it mean that this person is now a person who has achieved complete, comprehensive wisdom? No. Is this person a person who is necessarily a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the awliya? Not necessarily. But he has made some steps forward. He has made some progress because of these 40 days of hard work for purification. So, if you have such people around, or inshallah, if you yourself, you know, do this and gain this experience, you may have very wise ideas, but not necessarily everything that you say or do is wise. And sometimes people get confused. One of the things that happen to people who make progress in their ibadah, in their spirituality, is that when they start understanding things that normal people don't understand, they take this as a guarantee that everything that they think and do is right, which is not the case. You shouldn't be deceived, whether it's about yourself or other people. If someone tells you something very special, if someone can tell you something that you realize it was only from God, it doesn't mean that everything he says or thinks is, you know, correct. You have to be very careful. So this person has been given this ability to have some wisdom, and this wisdom comes to his tongue. But still, we cannot call him Hakim. You understand? This person is not yet like Luqman or Dawood or Isa. Although Allah is giving him wisdom, but he has not become Hakim. You understand? There is a difference between a person who has some knowledge and a person who is alim. Alim is the person who has lots of knowledge. Okay? Of course, no matter how much you know, still our knowledge is very limited, but at least compared to the people who know nothing. Once a person, an alim, sat on minbar, and people asked him questions, and he was very honest. He said, "I don't know." So another person asked him a question. He said, "I don't know." So a person said, "So why have you gone on the top of minbar? Come down." He said, "I have come on top of minbar because of what I know. If it was supposed to go on it because of what I don't know, I should have gone to a sky." So I have come only few steps on top of minbar because of what I know. But what I don't know is up to a sky. So it means that I know a little bit more than you, but I don't know everything. So to be really alim is different. To be hakim is different. So now we move on to the fourth usage of hakim. And this is the, I think, highest position. Sometimes we use hakim as a quality for a person. We say this person is hakim. What does it mean? It means that it's much more than just saying wise ideas. It's much more than even saying every day few wise ideas. A person who is hakim in his entire personality, it means that he is rational, it means that he has control over his emotions, he is patient, he forbears wrong actions of others, he is easy in forgiving, he has control over his words, he doesn't eat too much, he doesn't go after worldly pleasure. It is this type of person that can be called hakim. And these are the people who are next to anbiya, to the prophets. Kad al-hukama an yakunu anbiya. They are very close to be like prophets. Luqman was not a prophet, but because he was hakim, he was very close to the prophets. So, if you want to achieve this one, this would not be achieved only by 40 days of purification. This is a long journey. This is sometimes a lifelong journey. Of course, it doesn't come at the end of the life. It depends on your talents, it depends on your sincerity, it depends on the associates and the friends and the mentors that you have. But it takes time. It takes time, but it's possible. We cannot become a prophet, but we can become hakim. And for me, it's very important to mention this wisdom as a quality for the leaders. Because leaders, whether it's the leaders of a country or a community, or in the sense of scholars or mentors, spiritual directors, whoever has a kind of leadership, I think this wisdom is very much needed. In addition to knowledge, which is very much needed, and in many cases, even knowledge is not there. But I think just knowledge is not enough. You can be very knowledgeable, but not wise. So, I have been thinking a lot, what can be mentioned as some signs of a wise person, in addition to everything that we have said so far. So imagine, now we want to choose a person as our leader in this community, for example, or as our role model, as an exemplar Muslim, as a spiritual guide. What should we look for? Sometimes people, when they look for a role model or exemplar person or a spiritual guide, they look for only some extraordinary powers. So if someone can read their mind, they say, oh, this is a very good man. If someone can tell them something about future, they say, mashallah, this man has access to all the secrets of the world, so he must be always in touch with the angels. And they easily follow such people. But these are not signs of any perfection. These are not signs of any closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are techniques that you can learn and you then read the minds of people. There are techniques that you can learn Then you inform about future. Even a non-Muslim can learn these things. Indeed, certain things are advised which are absolutely haram, but if you do them, you gain control over some creatures of God and you gain such powers. So these are not signs of perfection. You should never be deceived by these things. Always judge people according to their knowledge, piety, and wisdom. So I wanted to mention a few points. As I said, I very much count on your comments. Maybe you can add to this list. I think one of the things that must be there in a wise person, and through your long-term familiarity with a person, you can find it. You cannot find a person is wise just by looking at his picture or reading his CV. You have to know a person for some time. It's very important. Never trust the people who have no clear history. You know, sometimes people emerge like mushrooms and look very beautiful, but there is no history behind them. You have to know history behind people. People that have 10, 20, 30, 40 years of history behind them, like, you know, our great ulama, our maraji. It's not that all of a sudden a person comes and becomes very popular. This history is very important, and also you have to have some history with a person. One thing that I think is very important, in addition to having this history, that is, over your experience, you must realize that this person is not one-sided in his views. A wise person, even if you tell him something simple, he's able to look at it from different angles. This is a sign of a wise person. The people who are not wise, they are very naive. You tell them something, they quickly give you answer. A wise person is very reluctant to give you quick answer. Always want to know more, get more information, different perspective, different views. It takes him some time. So he gives you the answer. So to be a person who looks at issues from different angles and has always different probabilities in mind is very important. There is a beautiful saying, I think it's said by Avicenna, if I'm not wrong. It says, يُعْرَفُ عَقْلُ الرَّجُلْ بِكَثْرَةِ مُحْتَمَلَاتِهِ. One sign of someone being very intelligent is that how many probabilities come to his mind when he looks at one thing. People who are not very sophisticated, when they hear something or see something, they have only one idea in their mind. Therefore, they quickly become sure. But a person who is very intelligent, when he is hearing something, 10 different ideas come to his mind. If he reads one, for example, sentence, 10 different interpretations come to his mind. And then he tries to compare them, he tries to bring evidence, and finally choose one. But it's important that at the beginning you have more than one. Because if at the beginning you have just one probability in your mind, then you miss the one which is the best. So, to be able to look at the subject at issue from different angles, different perspectives, is a sign of wisdom. The other thing is that a wise person is the one who can see far, is not short-sighted. There are people who can only see today or tomorrow. A wise person is the one who sees the future. A person who is able to plan for future. Imam Ali alayhi salam says something very beautiful about muttaqin. He says in the sermon of the pious, khutbatul muttaqin, فَمِنْ عَلَامَةِ أَحَدِهِمْ أَنَّكَ تَرَى لَهُ قُوَّةً فِي دِينٍ وَحَزْمًا فِي لِينٍ. Imam says, among the signs of pious people is that they are very strong in their faith. Very strong. If all people of the world become kafir, they don't lose their iman. Very strong. But at the same time, filin. They are very gentle. They are very soft. Unfortunately, we normally don't understand the difference between these two. We think to be strong in the faith means to be harsh, which is not the case. Imam Ali says you have to be strong in your faith and at the same time soft and gentle. And also, hazm. A pious person is a person who sees the future and plans for the future. Normally, unfortunately, I have to say, maybe I'm wrong, you can judge. Normally, religious people are not far-sighted. Normally, they don't plan for future. Because they say, we leave it to God. We trust God. We don't understand the difference between laziness and trusting God. When we are lazy, we say we trust God. You have to plan, you have to work hard, and then trust God. Not that you don't plan and say we trust God. Like the example of that person who didn't fasten the rope of his horse and went to sea, as he was the prophet. And when he went back, the horse was not there or the camel was not there. He was asked, why you didn't fasten? Said, I trusted God. Then he was told, I'aqil wa tawakkal. Fasten and then trust God. If you want to park your car, lock your car and then trust God. Not that you don't lock the car and say, I trusted God. Study hard for your exam, prepare yourself and trust God. Because no matter how much you prepare, there are many things that you may not have learned, you may not have anticipated. As some ulama have said, it's very beautiful. The concept of tawakkul, trusting God, is not to leave your job to God. The concept of tawakkul is that you do your job and leave the rest to God. I don't look after my Islamic upbringing of children and say, I trust God. No, you have to look after them, do your best, but at the end, how much control you have? But if you do your best and then you entrust to God, then inshallah, Allah will help you. So, unfortunately, most of the time, believers are not planning very well. Those who have no faith, because this dunya is the only thing that they have, and they don't believe in God, so they try to plan. Because they don't have any chance to lose. You know, this is the only thing that they have. So they plan. Religious people normally say, first of all, this dunya is temporary and we have eternal life. So even if we lose it, it's not important. And second, we have God, so he will look after the things. So we don't plan properly. And this is absolutely wrong. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, مِنْ عَلَامَةِ أَحَدِهِمْ أَنَّكَ تَرَى لَهُ قُوَّةً فِي دِينِ وَحَزْمًا. Hazm means to be far-sighted, to plan, feel lean. And at the same time, they are soft and gentle. If you have these three together, I guarantee that you would succeed all the time. Strong in your faith, plan for future, and be gentle and soft. You will win all the hearts. You will always succeed. So a wise person is the person who is far-sighted. You talk to him about issues which are very, you know, much related to the day-to-day life. But he says, No, there are issues which are more important, issues which are about future. You have to plan for another 2-3 decades. This is a sign of a wise person. Another important quality of a wise person is that he is very careful about priorities. The people who are not wise just try to do what is good. They try to do what is good. But a wise person tries to do what is best. This is where you can find who is wise, who is not wise. You ask a person who is not wise, I have some money, what should I do? I want to do something for the community. So he says, it's very important to make a mosque. Every person who says his prayer in mosque, you know, till day of judgment, you will be rewarded. Okay, this is good. But because he's not wise, he doesn't think that we have already 20, 30 mosques. We don't need any more mosques. Please don't make any more mosques when we have 20, 30 mosques which are empty or, you know, half empty. We don't have any school. We need for our community a school. Nothing can replace an Islamic school. But this person says, build a mosque. Or maybe we have a school, we don't have a hospital. Or maybe we have a school and hospital, we don't have mosque. I'm not against building mosque, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that you have to find out what is the most needed thing for the community. So a wise person doesn't, you know, worry to say something which may not look for everyone, you know, to be the first choice, because he is after priorities. He says, this is the priority for our community at the moment. So not just do good things, do best things. Because we don't have that much time and energy and resources to do everything which is good. Can you do everything which is good? No. So you have to prioritize. You have to do what is the most urgent. Another thing is that a wise person has to have lots of experiences. He has to go through many difficult circumstances. A person who has not been into difficult circumstances, a person who has not been to different parts of the world, different communities, different types of age groups. For example, a person who has always been with the old people, or always with the young people, or always with the teenager, or always with the children, cannot be a wise leader because he has very limited experience. Yes, for that particular group, maybe he's good. But a wise leader is a person who has dealt with different parts of the society. People of the community, people outside the community, different age groups, troublemakers, pious people. If you have always dealt with the holy people, with the pious people, always the people who come to the mosque, this is not enough. You have also to understand the mentality of the criminals. You have to understand the mentality of those who don't come to the mosque. So this is another sign of a wise leader. Another thing that I think a wise person needs is to be always in conversation with different groups of people. Whoever says, I know everything, I don't need to listen, is not a wise person. A wise person is always ready to listen, welcoming views, comments, objections, and he's very patient. You can hardly make him angry because he has control over his anger. You remember we had this, that you must control your anger. A wise leader is always consulting people, and in my view, you have always find the people who are very critical of you and make them among your close advisors. The people who always annoy you must be among your close advisors. Why? Because these are people who are not feeling shy or embarrassed to tell you the truth. People who are very kind with you, you know, sometimes they don't tell you the truth. They don't want to get you, you know, into kind of headache, or they don't want, you know, to make you sad. Sometimes you need people who are merciless so that they tell you everything. Maybe what they say is not correct, but at least in this way you can make sure that you have heard all different voices. Okay? Is it better for me to know what my, for example, critics say, or it's better not to know? Of course, it's better to know. Even if what they say is not correct, at least I must know. So a wise person always consults not only the people who love him and respect for him and clap for him. He consults even the people who disagree with him. Which is very important is that a wise person must be a person who always tries to bring people together. You remember about Luqman? One of the qualities of Luqman was that whenever he passed by people who were fighting, he stopped and reconciled and then left them. A wise person cannot leave community in fighting and disagreeing and rejecting each other. Always try to bring people together. It's a voice of unity. Because this is the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you were enemies and He made your hearts united. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبَكُمْ. You were enemies, but Allah brought your hearts close and united you. The Prophet went to Medina. One reason was that because people of Medina, Aus and Khazraj, used to kill each other, fight each other. They were tired. They went to the Prophet in Mecca and secretly invited him to go to Medina to establish this unity among them. They paid allegiance to the Prophet. So the Prophet established unity between them, Aus and Khazraj. The Prophet established unity between Muhajirun and Ansar, the people who migrated from Mecca and the people of Medina. He made them brothers. He did his best to bring unity between Arabs and non-Arabs, black and non-black. He was establishing unity in every corner, inside family, outside family. A wise person always reconciles people, always brings them together. A person who is not wise always divides people. He doesn't know how to deal with the people. He goes somewhere for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. When he leaves, the community is divided. Relations are broken. This is not wisdom. So it must work for reconciliation, for unity. Another thing that I think a wise person is in need of is to have benefited from different teachers, different mentors. I don't think it is wise if you get stuck with one person. Because that person is not ma'soom. No matter how good he is, he has limited knowledge, limited experience. You have always benefit from different scholars, different ulama. Every scholar is like a flower, has its own fragrance. Don't deprive yourself from other flowers because you are mad with this flower. Always go and benefit from different scholars. Unfortunately, some people get stuck with someone, or even some scholars like this, They keep them under control. They keep them as captive. This is not right. Always benefit from different people. Listen to different voices. At the end, you find out what one is the best. You can choose. One of the things that I myself have been doing in Qom is to benefit from all different ulama. Every person has some speciality. Every person has some strong points. You have to benefit from all. Don't limit yourself only to one person, one type of thinking. So even within the people who are good, still you have to benefit from more than one. And there are some other things, but I think our time is limited, so I stop here. And I hope I just at least have been able to give you some clues so that you can follow, inshallah, this important discussion. So I think you would agree with me that more than perhaps anything else, what we need today is wisdom. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ud'u ila sabil rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'izat al hasana." If you want to achieve closeness to Allah, and if you want to be able to introduce Islam to those who are in need of this message of light and mercy and peace, we need to have wisdom. If we don't have wisdom, instead of doing some good services, we would spoil, we would destroy the image of true Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us wisdom. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten our heart and mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to do what is the best, what is the most pleasing action to God the Almighty. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.